well, if you do end up leaving, if you want to come to Fred for a minute, and take it for a while, we will be moving in our next visit.
The two-part question, all right? If you would go ahead, thank you.
Thank you and good morning. My name is Abel Mawela. I've been serving a number of boards. I'm also a member of the Institute of Directors, a title called Certified Director. You acquire it through some rigorous process within the IDCA. My experience was twofold. Well, I spent on a number of boards, but the most important is that I'm actually serving on one of the entities that this committee is also responsible for. The entity is the Export Credit Insurance Corporation, ECIC. So I'm, in a manner of speech, a member of the family. I chair the audit committee of that board. I would venture to even argue that it's one of the best run boards, I think, of this within the DTI family. ECIC, yes, and I chair the audit committee. I'm mentioning this because lately SOEs that are well run becoming scarcer, so I can take a flag and say I represent one of those best. So being the chairman of the audit committee, you're actually the focal point of the organization. You make sure that all due processes are followed, the SOE Act itself and other judiciary duties are carried out. In my previous life, I also chaired, which is one of the, I think, the flagship of South Africa's project. I chaired the board of the Gautrain. And I was there during the construction. And we oversaw the construction and migrated into operation. You'd recall the 2010 hub of activity where we ran up to Sandton and how we later on ran all the stations. This at the time was a greenfield project. It was having a lot of doubting Thomases. By the time I had left in 2 years' time, it was an award-winning project. Well run, clean audits. The best Africa has seen. In fact, we've been overwhelmed with visitations to come and see how we do it. And, I've served in other boards as well within the Blue HQ and so on. I just mentioned those two just to show. And even at that time, before I became the chairperson of the board, I actually chaired the audit committee. So it looks like my audit committee background helps me to have a bigger view of how to govern. As to what I can contribute, at the current ECIC, program, we had an issue regarding the interest makeup. We had to resolve the problem. It was, in a manner of speech, a cutthroat decision to make. However, I do recall having to play a role in the board to try and make the board to reconsider the wisdom of trying to resolve it. So what do I bring? I bring a leadership and sense of direction. I also bring, but I just explain to you, I don't bring it in such a way that I create where board members would dissent and everything. I operate largely on a method of general consensus. I do not want to leave behind an unhappy board member who wants to dissent, and I'm not sure. I have to listen to them until I'm sure that we understand where we differ. And if I have persuasion to make, I implore my ability to persuade. But if it's a dissent, let's go back and redraw and come with the figures again and deliberate further. So it's not like now that I don't agree with you and I can see a few people are happy with me, let's raise hands. That's what I bring. It's a team player. It's leadership. It's also courage to break the ice.
I was hoping you would also add to that. Give us just three main criteria, the three key criteria that you identify as being appropriate for the chairperson.
The chairperson, critically, and this comes strongly through the King 4, sets the ethical tone of the organization. The chairperson provides leadership. In this case, you have to recall that the board is the accounting authority. It reports to the executive authority, being the department, the shareholder. And you therefore become the conduit between the operations as led by the commissioner and the shareholder. So it is very important that at that level you are able to understand the stakeholder implications of all players, and you lead. What's critical, you need to lead with moral authority. It helps you to be clear, it helps you to be consistent, and to be good at what you're doing.
Thank you very much there, Mr. Mawela. And we can then move on to another question coming from the Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to meet you. My question is, what do you envisage as the main functions of the National Lotteries Commission?
The National Lotteries Commission is a regulator. And by a regulator, it sets the standards, the rules, and then ensures implementation, and if there is deviations, it carries its sanctions out and undue behavior. So it derives its authority from a number of pieces of legislation. The actual NLC Act as amended, and the Companies Act, the PFMA, even the Code of the King. So from the Lotteries Act as amended, it ensures that the National Lottery and the sports pools are conducted properly in terms of the Act. It protects the interest of all the role players in the industry. It advises the minister on matters pertaining to the lottery. It does research to ensure that there may be good causes that have not been hitherto applied for, but that research enables it to say, but this is a good cause. For example, early childhood development. It also manages the operations of the NLC entity on its own. However, from time to time, the minister might request the commission to carry out one duty or another. It also carries that out. So it's, in a manner of speech, it's a quasi-judicial, quasi-legislative, and quasi-executive. What it does it becomes your first line of defense on all role players. If you are an activity role person in the lotteries industry, you are not safe about anything else. Your first line of call is with the NLC.
Very much. Do you want to follow up there on that person? No. Let's move on then and take our next question. Thank you. Sorry, my apologies, delaying everyone here.
One of the functions of the Commission is to advise the Minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation? Are there any areas or issues that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the Minister?
Well, I would say the issue of the distribution agencies, their appointment. Who appoints them and who do they report to? Unless you address that one, you are likely to end up with unnecessary conflicts. You did not appoint me, I cannot. But you see, if you follow the board is the accounting authority. In other words, whatever the distribution agents do or do not do, whether they do properly or not, ultimately, the accounting authority must account. So that area, I think, has got to be clarified. I tend to err on the side of saying the board must have the final say on it. Well, the other one is on enforcement, really, to say if you go out there, you observe an illegal activity in the industry. Someone is running an illegal. Can you effect an arrest? You have the powers to arrest or to enforce the law. If you don't have it, you then depend on another area of another department within government. You may or may not achieve effectively because it's out of your ambit of control. I think the other one is who do you really distribute money to? Would you give it to political parties, state of organ? I think these are areas that remain a moot point. I don't know which one is right or wrong, but I would be wary to sponsor a political party or a person with significant political views. You then tend to enter into politics, and I don't think that's what the NLC should go into.
I'm just wanting to make sure that you understood the question. Was that coming from yourself, Honourable MacPherson, number two? Was looking at one of the functions of the Commission is to advise the Minister, and you were coming on to it quite well, on the efficacy of the current legislation. The efficacy of the current, in your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation?
Okay.
And I think you were spelling that out earlier. And then secondly, are there any areas, issues that you believe maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the Minister? Immediately, certainly.
Okay.
So if you would just perhaps...
Enforcement powers.
You mentioned that.
The interpretation of some clauses pertaining to political affiliation or pertaining to state of organ, the other part was the cooling off periods, 24 months. Those are the areas that I think I could bring immediately to the attention of the minister. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mawela. We then have the Honourable Kalaku with your question.
Thank you, Chair. When advising the minister on the allocations for the various categories of good causes, what factors will you take into consideration? I'll repeat it, yeah? When advising the minister on the allocations for the various categories of good causes, what factors will you take into consideration?
Well, I think you should look at the effects or the benefits it will accrue to the role players, the beneficiaries. You should also understand, you know, its impact in the community in which it serves. But as an accountant, I'd also say it must be a viable project. It must be feasible. It must not fly in the sky. It must be something that you can, with the accountants call it bankable. It must be a bankable project.
What aspects would you consider? Bankable and viable.
Yeah. Well, let me draw my hue from, ultimately, if I were a member of the portfolio committee, I would say, what does it achieve and how do you perform towards it? So I would look at performance percentage. But in terms of the viability, I would look at the return on investment. How do you quantify it? Is it number of jobs, et cetera, et cetera?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Mr. Mawela. If governance challenges were to arise between the National Lottery Commission and the distributing agencies, how would you address these challenges?
Noting we're dealing with the technical aspects in this group.
That were to happen, I would, one, escalate it to the shareholder. But maybe before you go there, I might want to. I think ultimately, for you to ensure that the distribution agents do their work, set up a mechanism of recall, service level agreement of some sort that speaks to expectations by both parties, set out the terms of reference, and once you have signed that accord, you then let that accord govern your relationship. If that fails, I think it should embed in it a distribution resolution mechanism. Obviously, chair with the ability to escalate it to the shareholder. So I think if you have built it, it becomes a good governance document to regulate your behaviors. But, however, and I would say my bit, the accounting authority is the board. So I'm biased towards the buck stopping with the board. But obviously you cannot do that without compromising the right of the DA to defend their decisions. So I'm biased towards the board having the final say. But still, that SLA, I think, should go a long way into regulating your relationships.
Thank you, Honourable Mawela. Mr. Mawela. Can we then move on to leadership? These are the leadership issues now, broader than the technical. So we're going to ask the Honourable MacPherson to come in here.
Thank you. Mr. Mawela, what experience do you currently have in terms of board memberships or senior level management?
Senior level management, I started in public sector. Before then, I used to be a management accountant at one of the entities of DNL. It was called Electro. So I would look at the costs, pricing of projects. But then I became a deputy director of revenue other than Kempton Park Tembisa MLC. And I was on the revenue collection aspect of it. Later, when Ekurhuleni came to being, I became the CFO of Ekurhuleni. When we amalgamated 11 administration entities, 9 towns in the East Rand, Kempton Park, Indivale, you know them. Then there was a process called the EDI process, Electricity Distribution Industry. I think at the time, the idea was to create regional electricity distributors, which failed. I think role players could not agree to it. So that's my role at the senior level, financial management sphere. At board, I've said earlier, I'm at the CCIC, I was at the Gautrain, I was at a number of entities within the Blue AQ. I have this fortune of always either being in the audit committee or chairing the audit committee. That seems to be a constant on my side. And I've played those roles.
That's thank you. Do you have a follow-up on that question, anyone? Yes, thank you, Honourable Hill-Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Mawela. If you look at your CV, you know, sometimes when you're interviewing people, you don't understand the exact specifics and circumstances of their previous jobs. And it's sometimes a concern to see that someone goes through a number of senior positions in a relatively short time.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you can just expand on, for example, you were a senior financial manager at Ekurhuleni for 18 months, then at one of the Reds for a further 18 months. What was the cause of a relatively quick turnover in senior positions?
I think it was the demands of the moment. A lot of things were happening in terms of writing new legislature, moving in, and if the industry views you as being of value, you find yourself you're in demand. So you know, if I were to give you the legislation landscape of the moment, 1995 we had one, the Local Government Transitional Act. It was a transitional act we had to write what is called the local, the Structures Act. After the Structures Act, we started with the MFMA, then municipal property rights and so on. So it was a fast moving change. Organizations were also changing, reconfiguration of organizations. Then what happened was, at the EDI, it was like, when we do the EDI, we are going to need people from ESCOM and from local government at senior level who understand the viability of a municipality. You had to understand, me coming from revenue side, I understood the value of electricity revenue, making profits, and also subsidizing other services within local government. I was instrumental in the writing of the Municipal Systems Act to ensure that you use electricity cutoff to enforce payment of in other services. This was at the heart of the argument of the setting up of the regional electricity distributors. The industry needed to have people like myself who they knew, understood their plight. And so you came with that kind of credibility. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mawela. We then come to a question from the Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Mawela, how do you understand the difference the roles of the commissioner and the board? What is the relationship between the board, the minister, and parliament according to you now? Thank you.
Sure, that one was a bit too sided. It's two questions, isn't it? The first one is...
Perhaps the Honourable Van Schalkwyk will just indicate those gaps there.
The first part is, how do you understand the difference between the roles of the commissioner and the board? That's the first part. And then the last part, what is the relationship, according to you, between the board, the minister, and parliament? Thank you, Chair.
The first part, the commissioner is the accounting officer. The commissioner is responsible for the operations of the day-to-day running of the organization. The board is the accounting authority. They've got oversight over the workings of the commissioner. So the board largely consists of non-executive directors. In other words, they are non-executive, they are not reporting every day. They oversee the reports. The relationship between the board, the minister, and the parliament. The board is the accounting office. They ensure that the strategies are in place. They ensure that there's proper management of the operations of the organization. They carry out all those duties as stated in the Act. The minister is the executive authority. They are the shareholder. They are the ones that looks at the return on investment on the organizations. They are the ones that get the quarterly reports from the board. They are the ones that ensures that the annual financial statements are prepared in time, that the annual report is prepared in time. Parliament plays the role of being the regulator and the policymaker. So at Parliament, you've got the dual role. There's a role you have of SCOPA. SCOPA looks at what the Auditor General has said about the annual report. And they zoom into what the Auditor General is raising. The Portfolio Committee looks at the performance to make sure that there was service delivery of by that entity concerned. So all these role players, they create an accountability cycle.
Just wasn't too sure because the light is still on, you see. Right. Any follow-ups there, Honourable Van Schalkwyk? And then we move then to the next question from the Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thank you, sir. Briefly, what would you identify as your 5-year strategic objectives or priorities for the Commission if you were appointed? What system would you implement to monitor the progress in achieving your strategic objectives? What would you identify as your 5-year strategic objectives for the Commission if you were appointed as the Chair? And what systems or processes would you implement to monitor implementation and achievement of those strategic objectives?
The second one again when you finish the first response,
thank
all right?
Thank you, Chair. The Commission has just amended its act, and setting up of the distribution agencies, the aspects of communicating, inform and educate. So all those aspects that now come with the amendment of the act, I think it will be imperative to make sure that they're carried out fully. Very pedantic, but it remains a strategic objective to me, is keep the clean audit going and keep good governance going. It's also a strategic objective. Maximize your revenue and ensure that on the distribution side you distribute correctly for the right causes. And I think largely adhere to those requirements of the Act, making sure that the National Lottery and the sports pools are carried out, you know, properly. Due propriety exists, protect the interest of the role players in the industry, advise the minister on matters pertaining to the industry, and all those good causes. But also ensure that the ethical standards are adhered to as well. And then on the systems and processes, reporting, and time years, quarterly reports. Make sure that your performance reports are evaluated. Actual visas, target, deviances have been adhered to and accounted for correctly. So if you create a mechanism of reporting and ensure that the reports are correct, set up internal control measures to make sure that the three combined assurance models, the lower level being the management is in place, internal audit is in place, external audit is in place, etc. Yes.
I just want to ask a follow-up, if I may. Thank you very much, Mr. Mawela. But I was also just trying to get a better understanding when you spoke about the monitoring, the tracking. Are you talking about generally or the targets identified that were expected?
Yes.
You know, perhaps you could just spell that out a little clearer, because I know this would, according to your CV, is an area you're familiar with.
You set a 5-year strategy, and you break it down into an MTF of 3 years, and then it also lines up with annual performance targets. Those performance targets, they set goals and outcomes for the year, and then you make sure that you, for every year, you can bring them into quarters. And every quarter, you check actual visas performance, and you find out what are the deviations. You zoom into that to correct it. Yeah. And even up to until at the year end, you write an annual report that should speak to the annual financial performances, to the performance sustainability. And that those are the reports you send to the shareholder, who will in turn send it to Parliament for accountability, etc. Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mawela. Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Mawela. How would you ensure that realistic targets for the Commissioner are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately? How would you ensure that realistic targets for the Commissioner are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately?
There's a what they call it, SMART. You SMART your goals. There must be targets must be set. They must be measurable. They must be attainable. They must be time bound and quantifiable. Then, once they've got all those SMART criteria, they lend themselves to be easy to adjudicate as to whether they were attained or not. For example, if you were to say your objective is to create compliance, you've got to say how, who do you comply to, the number of instances, and over the periods, so that you're able to measure and attain it. So your performance must be SMART.
Thank you, Honourable. Mr. Mawela. Any other follow-up?
I like Honourable, too.
Well, it not my function, actually, to begin to enter that arena. But thank you, yes. Honourable MacPherson, did you want to follow up? I just was caught off guard there. Did you want to follow up? No. Right. Thank you very much. So we then move on to the... the community development. We've covered the technical, the leadership area, and now we're on community development. And that we're going to return to the Honourable Kalako to be addressing those issues.
Thank you, Chair. How would you ensure that the discretionary funds is utilized in a balanced manner to promote community development and be utilized in a sustainable manner? Yes. In a balanced manner to promote community development and in a sustainable manner.
I think discretionary funds, for starters, we should take them as funds. It's not that they are discretionary, they can be used, you know, willy-nilly. One of the things you put mechanisms of control to it, and you also set standards which they need to achieve. But you need to make sure that your projects are sustainable, they are viable as well. In other words, move away from thinking that because it's discretionary, it's wasteable. It's not wasteable. It must also follow the due process of thorough usage. That's all.
Do you want a follow-up question, Honourable Kalaka? Yeah, the discretionary funds issue, if I may just check here. One's looking at perhaps the aspects today, it's not just giving people money, but specifically emphasizes to be utilized in a sustainable manner. If you were if you had that discretion and you are identifying people, how would you ascertain that? There again, where how would you ensure that the discretionary fund, that was the question, is utilized in a balanced manner to promote community development, but also be utilized in a sustainable manner? How would that be measured? How would you look
at it? Well, Chair, I'll set proper reporting and control mechanisms. I would also ensure that there are right committees in place to even assist the community to make sure that they achieve their goals.
Next question, Honourable Kalaka.
What strategies should the Commission implement in order to assess the impact of the funds dispersed? What strategies should the Commission implement in order to assess the impact of the funds?
Expressed again?
No, it's just difficult. I must not think of it. I think it's clear. Let me do that.
It can be quite an ordeal sometimes.
Yeah. In class, when those questions come, you let the lecturer pass, but on this one, it's face. I wish I had a classmate. Well, to assess the impact of the strategy to implement in order to assess the impact of the fund, in other words, you're giving funds and you want to know do they really impact out there. I think for starters, you need to set out your own targets up front. You need to know what you want to achieve. And when you do monitoring and follow-ups, it's also important to go out there in the community yourself and make an independent assessment of, yeah, is the impact really happening at the desired outcome. Often they do, but if they don't, it's never too late to review them. Sometimes objectives and the impact could be over-exaggerated, but you may want to say, okay, maybe I was aiming too high, let me be, you know, reasonable. So you keep your eye on the ground, make sure that you understand the impact and where possible, increase or decrease them based on the circumstances. Normally, you would need the third party to help you with that because they come with a fresh way of looking at things, an independent way. They can also help you to sharpen the pen either ways. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Mawela. Do you have a follow-up at all? Right. Mr. Mawela, perhaps looking at some of the broader issues here, you know, I looked at this view, as I said earlier on, you had a fair amount of experience, and you yourself confirmed this, going into new positions, as it were, or new areas. I think that would be a better way of putting it, in response to new legislation and that kind of thing. And then also your experience on audit, etc. committees. I still would like to get a better understanding myself on how do you believe that experience, and you've had a variety in that regard in these new projects or new issues or new legislation and regulation and policy, how do you think that will assist you to carry out the functions of a chairperson, this chairpersonship?
Being a member of the ACIC, I'm in the family. So it may not sound critical, but it is, in that I have interacted with the shareholder, the owner. It is also important sometimes to understand the culture in the family. So by having been with the ECIC for quite a lot, I understand how the DTI operates. So it's important at that level, because you're not new. You almost tend to able to direct the organization to say at ECIC, at the shareholder level, these are the tolerance levels, you know. Well, not specific to this minister, but any minister does not want to wake up on a Sunday morning in front of a newspaper. So those are the things that you can immediately build into an organization to say, guys, this is serious. Let's try to work correctly. So, and that is important. Ethical leadership and moral leadership is paramount. Compliance is paramount. So I think that one can bring in. I understand how the department works. But besides, I think over the years, I've also come to understand, and I'm also okay with what is happening out there in the world. You know, for example, one argues that even though there's no taxpayers' money that contributes to your organization, like we have at ECIC, it does not mean you can do what you like with the money. It is still public funds. So even at ECIC, we move from that departure. We create our own revenue. There's no money coming from the taxpayers to ECIC. But it's not our money either. We still are responsible to the public. And so you are aware of what is happening outside. So you want to ensure that those tenets of accountability do not fall off. NLC will have a similar thing that, you know, it creates its own revenue, but it does not mean you can do what you like with that money. That tonality and leadership, I think, is what you bring to the organization, and to make sure that, you know, you stay on course and you don't drop the ball because you think you're creating the money yourself. Yeah.
Well, I really must thank you very much. I'm sorry, Honourable Phil Lewis, just as well Mr. Herman said.
Just one question on your CV, Mr. Mawela. I recall that the current chairperson and CEO of the license holder Etuba also were once upon a time members of the Board of Sheriffs, and I noticed that you also were a member of the Board of Sheriffs. In fact, I think the CEO of the license holder was the chairperson of that board. So I just want to check, is that a coincidence, or is there any informal or formal or business relationship between you and the current license holders and the leadership of Etuba?
Nah, I don't have any business relationship with that. Nah, not at all. It's interesting that you're raising it, because also the board for sheriff is a regulator. And it also played around the same lines. We raised revenue from the sheriffs, and we also regulated the industry and so on. So it's a similar regulation environment.
Well, I better be careful this time and look towards my left. Are there any other questions or comments? Thank you. Mr. Mawela, thank you very much for availing yourself, making yourself available for nomination, but also coming here before us today and sharing with us this experience. And just so that you're aware of how these things work, we won't be taking a snap decision on the matter. We will be digesting this, discussing it with our parties, etc., and then with each other as a committee, before we put our recommendation to Parliament itself, the House, and then, of course, a decision will be taken in the House itself, and this will be communicated to all candidates. And we expect that this process will take a month, but it could be sooner or a little longer. Thank you very much for coming here. Thank you. And we have got a couple of minutes before we get started at 22 on my watch. It's 25:25 now. Impartial about the questioning, notwithstanding that Professor Alfred Nefutunde is the incumbent at the moment. Professor, you're familiar with the process, having undergone this before. We're going to be asked